Well, yes, tonight is the night that I know you've all been waiting for. I can tell you went out and brought your friends and everybody you could find to come to hear this topic tonight. The truth about sex. Someone came up to me and I said, oh, it was Suzanne. Suzanne says, Lenny, that's me tonight going, Mark, you're going to talk about the S word tonight? Could you believe it? Her and John came up at the same time. Lenny, that's me asking you this. I couldn't believe it. Oh, and there was Julie, too. I'd have to include Julie. She came up with them. They were pretty excited about this. Suzanne, that's a nice tan. All right. Well, we better pray. So you all can get serious about this tonight. Okay? So let's bow our heads and ask the Lord for our time tonight. Lord, we just thank you so much that you're the God who created male and female, and you're the God who created sex. You're the God who created us. And Lord, you care about us. I pray tonight that especially we'd understand that. It's real easy sometimes, Lord, to think of you as an ogre, to think of you as some dictarian, some authoritative oppressor who would like to keep us from the things that you created for us to enjoy. I pray, Lord, we'd have a trusting spirit tonight in relationship to you. I pray, God, that we'd have hearts tonight that would say, I'll trust God. I want to know what God's perspective is tonight, Lord. We want to hear from you. We want your perspective. The world's always giving us theirs. We'd like to hear what yours is. We want you to teach us tonight, Lord. We want you to give us hearts that are ready to learn, hearts that are willing to learn, hearts that are willing to receive the Word of God. Pray, oh God, that you'd speak to us tonight. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let me take another drink. Anyone thirsty? It's cold. It's good. Well, you and I live in, I think, personally, from what I know of history, and I won't claim to be an expert, okay? All I have to know is more than you. Okay? And I'm not an expert in civilizations, time past and time present, but in my observation of what I've read, we live in the most sex-crazed society, I believe, that's ever been. Absolutely, our society is inundated with sex. You see it on the billboards, you see it in the magazines, you see it on TV. If you watch U.S. Today, it has a little report on each evening. I think it's from 6:30 to 7 or 7 to 7:30. I'm not sure which. And I caught part of it tonight, and they have the sleaze factor almost every time you watch. And it shows what the TV stations are doing right now to increase their ratings. I heard a recent report that this is the most sleazy, sensual period of television history that there's ever been. And it just goes from bad to worse. You know, it just keeps going and going and going and going. And one of these days, it probably won't be very long, and it'll just be nudity on ABC, NBC, and CBS. But for all practical purposes, they might as well already do that, because those are the kinds of things that they're using constantly to promote cars, chewing gum, deodorant, shirts. I can't believe the way they promote Van Heusen shirts. Or Aero shirts. You know, like, because my girlfriend's going to wear one with nothing on under it, I'm going to go buy one. You know? Yeah, if you ever start to think about the logic of some of this, you begin to realize that there's no rhyme or reason to it, except the promotion of a hedonistic society that presents women as toys to be played with. And we're inundated with that all the time. If you watch MTV very much, you begin to grasp what I'm saying. If you watch Madonna much, you begin to understand that Madonna is just a glorified Playboy bunny. She does a glorified strip tease on MTV. She's no musician. That's how she makes her living. She's a glorified Marilyn Monroe. And you begin to realize, and if I was you, for you women, I'd be really concerned. I'd be mad. I would be really mad at the presentation that men are getting all the time in our society of you. Because it makes it appear Like women are just, you know, you meet one on the elevator and she's ready to have sex. Right on the elevator. And that is the whole promotion that goes on in our society. And it really sickens me. It really angers me. It angers me for a lot of reasons. Number one, because I have two daughters and a wife. It angers me because when I got married on a false premise. The Hollywood impression of love, and we're going to talk about that tonight. If you listen to much music at all, and if you're a rational, logical human being, 80 to 90% of it all has to do with sex. And love is synonymous with screw in almost any song you listen to. And we live in a day of unprecedented sexuality and sexual promiscuity, and it's pushed on you all the time. I was having a little study in Normandale College about a year and a half ago, and there was this class that it was a required class on interpersonal communication. Okay? Conversation. And in the middle of the class, the professor, who turns out to be homosexual, makes everyone in the class watch making love between two homosexual men. I was ready to burn the place. And it was required. And I had a couple of young ladies in this little study that I was doing that had spoken up, and they were ridiculed. They were kicked out of the class for speaking up. You have it happen at this university all the time. And there's a book out for any of you that are interested in what really is going on in our society. It's called The Grand Delusion. And I was visiting with a man 2 days ago who wrote it. And it's all about Planned Parenthood and Planned Parenthood whole basis of philosophy, not based on his premise, but based on their quotes from their own literature from Margaret Sanger herself. And since all of the education that's gone on sexuality in the schools, teen pregnancy has tripled with your money and my money and your parents' money, and it's a giant hoax. It does not bring freedom to your life. It does not bring joy to your life. We're going to look at a little later about seven things, and there's a myriad of things, but about six or seven things that sexual promiscuity brings in your life, and you're going to have to deal with those things. I'm the only one that I know of in this room that's married. Now, I've been married 10 years now. This May will be 10 years. And I'll tell you what, you pay a price for your immorality. You pay a price. You pay the piper. And we're going to talk about some of those things tonight. How in the world do we find some sanity out of the world situation that we have right now? On a college campus, the number one priority of college students is sex. In recent surveys, that's the number one priority. It used to be, you know, this is an interesting phenomenon. The interesting phenomenon is, used to be, it was what guys had on their mind most of the time. But you know, it's slowly but surely changed. And now more and more, what's really interesting, I meet more and more women who have sex on the brain as well as men. And men wanted it that way, you see. You're a lot easier that way. It's a lot easier to get what they want that way. Who do you think makes MTV, women or men? Who do you think on Playboy? I mean, it's kind of a publicity PR stunt to let Christy Hefter run it. You better believe daddy's pulling the strings. Who do you think controls television? It's not women. It's men. You know who controls the fashion industry? It's not women. It's men. And we could go on and on and on and on and on. And so it puts on you all a pressure that you're going to have to be a certain way. And it puts a pressure on society that we've got to be a certain way. And, you know, life has not always been like this. It's hard for you to understand that. And I'll tell you two reasons why. Number one, because we live in the present. Number two, and Annie, you can go talk to me later if you want proof on this. Your history books have been rewritten. I don't know if you knew that. Your history books have been secularized. by the publishers of the textbook for American schools. They do not tell you and give you a real representation of what life was like in the 1700s or the 1800s or the early 1900s. They do not tell you the great spiritual awakenings that went on. They don't tell you that a majority of the founding fathers of this country were more hardcore Christians than I am. They don't tell you that. You have to go by the old books, and you can find them in the Library of Congress. And I can direct you to books that have been written by the original historians, copies of the original historians, the people who lived during the day and what they wrote. That's history. And so our history books have been systematically secularized so that you think everybody's always been sleazy. All society's always been wild and fanatic and hedonistic. And that's not true. And then it's really been downplayed why Rome ever fell and why Greece ever fell. They fell from moral rot. They were the greatest nations of their time, and they decayed morally. Of course, they're not going to talk to you about that in a classroom. That isn't popular. So we have a situation today that is really, my personal opinion, is the greatest difficulty facing this country is the moral decay, the immoral activity that goes on in American society. Most men, and this is, I'll tell you, this is really sad. This is one of the reasons why I want to talk about this tonight. Recent survey I just read, 75% of all Christian young people that have been raised in a Christian home, and this would be not just nominal Christian, but those Christians that are pretty active in their faith, have been immoral. 75%. So we have a situation, we have a country that's just schizophrenic. No one has any direction, and there's no one really out there giving any clear direction. And I hope tonight to be able to give you specific, clear, biblical understanding of where God wants you to go and why. Not just where he wants you to go, but why. And I hope to be able to, I'm the only one here, you know, I've been on both sides of the fence now. I've been single and I've been married almost as long as I went to junior high and high school, a little longer. So I hope to, I want to be real honest with you and about what really goes on, what the truth about sex and exposing the lie. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, it's kind of interesting. How seldom we even blush anymore. But I don't know about how you girls feel or how you guys feel. But here you are, you know, you're home, and I've got kids, and I'm in the middle of a football game, and on comes the Cross Your Heart bra. Well, now the Cross Your Heart bra is just with the bra on, nothing else. It's great, you know. Or you're sitting there, and you're this girl, all of a sudden they're talking about Tampax, you know. Know how wonderful it is, you know. You're with a bunch of guys watching the Super Bowl. That's really cool, isn't it? And it just really makes your day, you know. Or you see Steve Reeves come on, Mr. Superman himself. The other night I'm sitting there watching my family, and Christopher Reeves, I'm sorry, and he comes on and goes, you know, I used to call this girl. And she had six pairs of jeans and a flannel shirt, and under them she had this wonderful lace. And that's the whole commercial. So flannel shirts are fine with me, just as long as there's lace underneath. And then they advertise the name of some shirt I never even heard of. It's like, what kind of insanity? I mean, you see, we just play on the basest nature of man just for a buck. And it's so degrading. It's really degrading. But you know, oftentimes we just laugh. I mean, it doesn't even bother us. We become so desensitized. We really have. We become very, very desensitized. So that it's very difficult now. It is what the devil has effectively done with the media has neutralized the spirit. He's neutralized men and women's moral integrity. And by the constant bombardment, pretty soon You are willing to accept sub-moral standards because you've been effectively desensitized. And I hope tonight to resensitize you. I hope tonight God can resensitize you and give you understanding. Here in 1 Corinthians, or did I say 1 Corinthians 6? I'm going to read this to you out of the Phillips translation. You can follow along in your own, that's fine, but I'm going to read it to you out of this one. Starting with verse 11. Now let's start with verse 9, okay? Have you forgotten that the kingdom of God will never belong to the wicked? Don't be under any illusion, neither the impure, the idolater, the adulterer, neither the effeminate, the pervert, or the thief, neither the swindler, the drunkard, the foul-mouthed, or the rapacious shall have any share in the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you have cleansed yourself from all that. You have been made whole in spirit. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. And you stop for a minute and think, and I look around the room. I know some of you, I don't know all of you, but we come from all different backgrounds, and I doubt very seriously that most of us had a very clean, righteous teenage upbringing. We may have had a good upbringing, but I doubt that we stayed very pure. At least statistically that would be true. We may have some rare people in this room. And we were some of these people. We're liars, we were thieves, homosexuals, perverts, foul-mouthed, swindlers, and immoral. And we were destined for hell, without question. We were destined for hell. We were destined to pay for our own sins. And God in His great mercy reached down to us because His love for us saved us and delivered us and justified us. And so we're clean from all that. So just so you don't get mixed up here and go, well, gee, I've done that, or I've done it since I'm a Christian. Well, the fact of the matter is if you have Christ, you're cleansed, you're whole in spirit, and you've been justified. And God has some things that He wants to say to us, starting with verse 12. As a Christian, I may do anything, but that does not mean that everything is good for me. I may do everything, but I must not be a slave of anything. Now I want to underscore this principle. There is liberty in Christ to do anything. I don't know if you knew that. There is liberty in Christ to sin, because Christ paid for your sin. But it will profit you nothing. It is totally vain energy spent. And as He says here, it's no good for you. And it won't do you a bit of good. It won't be fulfilling. It won't have any zest or spice. And eventually will just drag your life down. That's all sin is. It's a drag. We have a hard time believing that. We have to learn to trust God. We have to learn to understand what He's saying is the truth. It's kind of like if I said to you, listen, don't eat dirt. I mean, trust me, don't eat dirt. Dirt isn't any good. You're not going to enjoy the dirt. Oh, but I like dirt, Mark. I really like it. I want to eat it, so you eat it, you know? And it tastes good. You swallow it, and your stomach begins to upheave, and you start to vomit all over the place. Now, I want to drink gas. It smells so good. Gasoline, you know, some of you like to go to the fill up the tank because it smells so good. And so you drink it, you know, and you drink. Come on, don't drink. Trust me. You don't have to try it. Trust me. It'll rot your gut. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says in verse 13, food was meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God has no permanent purpose for either. But you cannot say that our physical body was made for sexual promiscuity. It was made for the Lord, and in the Lord is the answer to its needs. That is very, very important you understand. You are being told today in this school, and you're paying for lies, that you are sexual beings. You are not sexual beings. You are eternal beings. You are eternal souls and spirits. And you were not made for sex. You were made for the Lord. You were made for His pleasure, and He is for yours. Isn't that interesting how we pay for lies? I want to challenge you this week. Go to your classes and you write down every time you had a lie. And then find out if you enjoy paying for that kind of information. Because you are. And so is everyone else that goes to this campus. You're not a sexual being. You're a spiritual being first. A spiritual being. You're not an animal. You're not an animal that just goes around looking for some new mate. And that is basically what this college is all about. Some guy trying to hit on every girl that he sees. And some girl trying to get every guy she can. There are a lot that live that way, not all. There are far more men that live that way than women. And he says here, the God who raised the Lord from the dead will also raise us mortal men by His power. Have you not realized that your bodies are integral parts of Christ Himself? Am I then to take parts of Christ and join them to a whore? Never. Don't you realize that when a man joins himself to a whore, he makes with her a physical unity? For God says, the two shall be one flesh. On the other hand, the man who joins himself to the Lord is one with Him in spirit. Avoid sexual looseness like the plague. Every other sin that a man commits is done outside his own body. But this is an offense against your own body. Have you forgotten that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and is God's gift to you, and that you are not the owner of your own body? You have been bought, and at a very high price. Therefore, bring glory to God in your body. This is pretty powerful. You probably read this before and wonder, what in the world does he mean? I'm going to try to explain you part of what Paul means tonight. The part where it says any man who sins sexually or woman sins against their own body, it means you sin against your own body. It means it leaves scar tissue. You can go out and steal, come to know the Lord, and that won't even affect you. You can go out and swear, you can go out and swindle people, you can go out and do all kinds of things. Get drunk, do drugs, come to the Lord, man, it's a wonderful thing, but I want to tell you something. Immorality. You pay the piper. You pay the piper. And as a Christian, you get involved in immorality, you pay a price. You pay a price. It will affect you. And I'm speaking not only from God's Word, but from experience. It will affect you. It will affect your marriage. It will affect the way you view life. And it will make it very difficult for you to interact with other men and women. And we'll get into some of those specifics later. It's very important that you understand that our body was made for the Lord, and the Lord is the answer to your needs. Now, that's the first thing I want to start with. Remember last week what we talked about when we were talking about finding Miss Right, Mr. and Miss Right? Remember the thing I said? First and foremost is delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll tell you a little secret. You will never experience the desires of your heart, God giving you the desires of your heart, until He is number one in your life. Not until He's first. Not until you seek Him first. Not until He's the number one delight of your life. Not until you learn to be satisfied with Him. You'll never get it. And you'll live a very frustrated life. Very frustrated. It's very important that you allow God to satisfy your needs. And I'm going to get to this a little later, but I'll just touch on this. I've been sexually active now for 10 years, okay, or almost 10 years. And I can tell you for a fact that sex is not what you think. I hate to break this bubble tonight, but I got to. Somebody's got to wake you up. It's not what you think. It is not what you think. You will have never had to die to self so much as when you start getting involved with your partner sexually. You're deluded. It will not be what you think. It is not Hollywood. It doesn't happen, you know. You just kind of come home from work. Your wife walks out in her Playboy bunny suit, and the candles are lit, and the music is playing just right, and all of a sudden this tremendous moment of passion comes over you. That's garbage. That's all pretend. It doesn't happen that way. You fight,
and you have struggles, and she sees the crumminess in your life, and you see the crumminess in hers, and you have to work through it, or believe me, the bedroom never works. Never works. It's all a lie. It is all a lie. It is easy to be like a dog. You see, that's why people go out. That's why the soaps are so popular. See? It's easy to go out and find a new lover. It's easy to go out and find a new lover. That's nothing. That's just being an animal. Men and women today, it's almost impossible for the average man or woman today to carry on a viable relationship, meaningful relationship, with a member of the opposite sex. That's one of the reasons why people are getting divorced at a rate of almost 1 out of every 1.9. What's going to make you different? You really need to think about this. What's going to make you different? I'm going to get into dating next week. But one of the reasons, I'm just going to give you a little speculation here. Okay, I'm going to give you some of the do's and don'ts in dating, some of the pros, some of the cons, some of the cons, some of the pros. All right? To both perspectives. One of the things I want to share with you that's happening today in America is this. And many of us in this room have been victims of this situation. You get in high school, I don't know when you girls, some of you, I mean, your guys started dating. You know, my mom and dad had a pretty strict rule on that. So I was, until I was about 16 or 17, then on my first date. They were pretty strict about that. But some of you were 12 or 13, because I know I've talked to you. You go out with this guy, and there's this tremendous pressure placed on you, particularly usually by the guy, to be sexually active, and by your peers. So you go out with this guy, you start to date, you start to like him, he likes you, you get emotionally involved, you get sexually involved, and basically, you're doing everything with one another that a married couple would do, except you don't live together. Your mom and dad won't let that happen. You sit by each other in the cafeteria, you go to class together, you can't live without each other. And then one day he drops you like a bomb. Somebody prettier comes along. Also, you blow him off because you don't want the hurt too bad, so you get real, you know, rowdy, tough, and so you get your first experience there with getting dropped. Or vice versa, it can happen with a guy too, same thing. So now you go look for somebody else. For the average person, this can happen 3 to 5 times before they're ever married. You've been systematically conditioned to leave your mate when the going gets tough. Systematically. That's one of my number one grievances, man, with dating. It stinks. Because it's a false situation. And the minute somebody gets tired of you, they drop you like a bomb. You've been involved body, soul, and spirit almost. And then you head into marriage. Well, it's a little tougher because there's a little legal hassle, but it's not too tough. It's pretty easy to get a divorce today. 15,000 divorces are filed for in Hennepin County every year. 85% of those are initiated by women. And out they go. And then they look for another one. And the second one fails at twice the failure rate. The third at triple, and it just goes on and on from there. And I care about you all, you see. I care a lot about you. God cares exceedingly more than I do. And I want your success. That's why I'm talking about this. But if you don't really grasp this, and you go, God, I'm going to take your perspective, you're headed for trauma like you've never experienced in your life. You're headed for heartache that you know nothing about right now. You're just going to have to take my word for it. I deal with it all the time. I counsel couples all the time. I counsel people that have left their mate or that have been left. The trauma is unlike... I think personally the trauma is more than if a loved one dies from what I've experienced. Death you can deal with. You couldn't help it. They're gone. You deal with it. When someone walks out on you or leaves you, the devastation is unbelievable. So God has a very good reason here why he's saying avoid sexual looseness like the plague. How much would you avoid AIDS? How much would you avoid leprosy if there's no cure for it? You'd avoid it like the plague. Sexual promiscuity is a plague. It's a plague of this nation. And it is the reason why we have AIDS. And it is the reason why we have more communicable sexually transmitted disease than I could even name on probably all of our fingers together. It's a very normal thing today. And there's probably some of us in this room that have them. Maybe many. You just control them. Since the advent of penicillin and other types of drugs, you just control them. Some of them go away, some of them you have for life. All because no one wants to take God serious. God cares about you, don't you understand? God cares about you. He's not trying to keep something from you. Let's talk for a minute about who came up with sex. Did you? Did your professor? No. God's the one who designed it. I heard a joke the other day. Don't take this I'm not going to tell it. Forget it. Anyway, God's the one who created sex, see? He made it. He made men and he made women, and he made them to be attracted to one another and in different ways. And in different ways. You don't think men and women are different. I'll give you a little story. This is a true story. About 3 years ago, you all heard of Ann Landers? Dear Abby. There was Abby, she'd done this article. This woman had written in this article. And she was just kind of bearing her soul to Dear Abby. And basically she told her, she said, you know, I'd give anything if I didn't have to deal with sex anymore in my marriage. I would give anything if I could just have my husband hold me tenderly and affectionately. I'm sick of sex. Abby thought this was really interesting, so she thought she'd do her own personal survey. So she wrote the next day in the paper, she put kind of an ad, and she asked for volunteers, people to write in, women to write in, and express their opinion on this same question. 100,000 women wrote letters, and 80,000 of those women said the same thing. Now I want to tell you something, guys. You and I have been told a big, fat lie. Women are not these sexually heated beings that are like some cat that get in heat about every other hour. Okay? That's a lie, and it devastates relationships. It really devastates marriages and relationships. They're sensitive, they're caring, and they want commitment. They're not animals. See? Now, girls, God had to make guys just a little bit different, or else there'd never be no babies. See? And God wanted an ongoing world. Now, I want to say something. This does not mean in every situation this is exactly. And you don't need to feel bad if you're out there, you're a girl, or you're a guy going, well, I'm not that way. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just saying the norm statistically. We might be different, and that's fine. But we need to understand what the basic makeup is of men and women. And God wanted to procreate. He wanted to fill the earth. And he also gave sex as a pleasure between a man and his wife. Because there's commitment there. See? If you're going to have good sex in marriage, you better have a good sense of humor. Or you're going to have problems. I know you all pride yourself in this. You're single. It's so cool to talk about sex. You know, you're just so cool if you can talk about it in a crowd. You know, it's almost a macho thing. Well, you want to know how fast that's going to change? The day you walk down the aisle and the day your wife or your husband doesn't do something right, you're going to be closed mouth about sex. That is the number one thing that couples do not communicate about in marriage. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. It's frustrating. And we all take it way too serious. It's not the big deal that we make it out to be. It's probably 1/100th of my marriage, if I was going to put it in perspective. 1/100th of my marriage. Now, the reason I'm sharing some of these things with you is because I don't want you to have to repeat some of the mistakes I made. When I got married, it was 100% of my mind, of my drive. And for me, it almost ruined my marriage. Okay? It almost ruined my relationship with my wife. And you girls know what it's like to feel cheap, feel used, to feel like this is all the guy's got on his mind. Well, that's about what began to happen. That's what started happening in my relationship with my wife. And God really had to do some overhauling in this brain and this heart. It's a major overhaul. I began to realize I'd swallowed the lie. All those years of my looseness, of my loose living, of my violation of this book, brought a heavy toll into my marriage and almost ruined it. Almost ruined it. And God had to bring me very low Very, very, very low. Lower than I'd want any of you to have to go. And humility to make me finally face up to the fact that I am about the most selfish creature that ever lived. Finally hit me like a ton of bricks. This is totally selfish. Totally self. This has control of me. I do not have control of it. And so God began to overhaul my mind and my body and my spirit. And it took a massive, and we're going to get to this later, it took a massive overdose to the Word of God to rethink and re-gear my mind and my understanding so that today I care about my wife. Her interests are really what's on my mind first of all. And quite frankly, this whole thing, you're going to read books. I know you read Mademoiselle, Red Book, Cosmopolitan, 17, Self, all the trash, you know. And that's what it is. It's trash. It's a lie. Or it ought to be once a day. You know, you ought to have good sex once a day. You don't want to know what a real, really, probably a realistic picture is, maybe once a week. Oh, don't say that, Mark! How can you say that? I'll die! That just shows you how much you are sexually driven. See? How much you just don't understand what marriage is about. It's about caring, and it's about love, and it's about putting the other person's interests first. It's about living life and all the things that go on together. And your sexual relationship is just a little part of that. An expression is a very meaningful part. It's a very exciting part. It's a very fun part. But you make it number one, and if it's number one now, you see, you'll carry that right into marriage, and it'll ruin your relationship. Well, it's very important you deal with now. All right, now, you ought to just have simply and strictly an absolute taboo in your life. I am not getting involved sexually. I am not getting involved. And if you are involved, my advice to you is, if you don't think you can quit, get help. I'll be glad to help you. If you don't need help, quit. Quit. And if the person you're going out with won't, drop them. Drop them. You don't want to end up with a person. There's one thing I forgot last week, ladies, about a man. I could kind of kick myself, but the Lord reminded me this week so I can redeem myself. You want a man who's self-controlled. You want a man who can control himself. And believe you me, if he can't control himself in this, you're headed for some trouble. Real trouble. If he doesn't respect your integrity, if he doesn't respect your purity, if he doesn't respect your being, then he's not the guy for you. I don't care how much money he's worth. I don't care what he looks like. I don't care what other qualities he has. That will undermine all of his character. It will undermine it all. It's very important. And usually, I'll be honest with you, usually it's not the girl's fault that sex happens outside of marriage. Guys, God puts the blame on us. We have to take it. Take it like men. See, it's about time men start taking the responsibility for the garbage that's happened in society. We are the leaders, and I'm sorry, ladies, that's just the way it is. Men have been leading this country for centuries, and they've been leading it down a crummy, wretched path. And by and large, it's men in relationships that push themselves on the girl, that make her feel like, you're going to have to keep me, you're going to have to put out to keep me, or get me. And if you don't, then I'm gone. And we come up with all kinds of excuses. All the ones from American Graffiti to Buster and Billy, to whatever other movies you watch, and now you don't even say anything. It's just kind of understood that it's going to happen. And it's sad. I really feel for you women because the pressure is pretty difficult. I also feel for you guys because the pressure in the society that we have is excruciating. But there's hope, and that is the Spirit of God lives in us and can empower us to deal with the pressures we face. And there is no greater pressure than sexual pressure. It's very, very difficult. And I want you to know I understand that. So you desperately need God's perspective and you desperately need God's help. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture because it's written from one pastor to another. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Did I say that wrong? Did I say first? Really? I'm sorry. 2 Timothy. I do that a lot. Poor memory, I guess. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22 says, "Flee the evil desires of youth." Or another version says, "Flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." I'm just going to give you a little few tidbits of secret that will help you in this area. Number one is, number one, it's found in Proverbs chapter 6 in verse 27. You don't have to turn there, just write it down and I'll read it to you. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 27. "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched?" The obvious answer, no. This is in the context of sexual immorality. You can't handle it, people. You can't handle it. I don't care who you think you are. You cannot handle to put yourself in a situation that will overload your circuits, and it will. I know I have met very few people in my life who can say no. Very few people. When it gets really, really tough, I have met very, very few. In fact, I've never met anyone who come up to me and said, "Oh yeah, Mark, I was." And I said no. And I'd like to find out how long they kept saying no. You might have said no the first time. But after it happens and happens, you get burned. You will get burned. The only solution is to get out of it. Flee it. Run from it. Stay away from it like the plague. Avoid it like the plague. And instead, flee after righteousness, love, peace, faith, along with others, the buddy system. See? You need fellowship. You need this group. You need the people in this group. We desperately need to help one another in this area. And I'm going to, for those of you that are wondering, I know somebody's wondering, "Well, Mark, how far do you go?" And we're going to talk about that. Because I knew someone was thinking that out there. Not everybody in the room. Anyway, I'm just going to lay some groundwork. Then we're going to talk about how far you go and how far you don't go. So he says right here, "Flee the evil desires of youth." So you need to underline that. You need to write that down, flee, 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 and go, go, go. See? You flee one thing, and at the same time when you flee, you run after the other. So you need to run after righteousness, the things that are right. You need to run after faith, trusting God for what He says. Love, being loving. I'll tell you another heavy thing, guys, that makes this whole thing really heavy, because if you know the Lord here, then obviously you'd be getting to know a girl, a gal who knows Christ. That's the last person you want to have immorality with, your sister. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but I'll show you a verse on that, Timothy. Don't forget, she's not just a woman, she's your sister. That's called incest. It has a lot greater implications than what you think. And it's a serious thing. And it'll be devastating in both your lives. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we'll just touch on this. "Do not rebuke an older man harshly," this is verse 1, "but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." That's a very, very important thing to understand. You know? With absolute purity. You're to treat the younger women, those that are your own age, in other words, or younger, as your sisters, and cherish them, and care about them, and look out for them. You know, you ever thought how selfish it is to put, really, sex is really going to be a very selfish thing, especially outside of marriage, to force yourself on another individual? Most women take it much harder than men, by the way. Most women is usually more devastating to a woman than it is a man, although it affects you both. So, think about love. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. How many of you read a proverb every day? Every day that there's of the month, you read a proverb. Okay. Well, I would encourage you to begin reading a proverb every month, and you will have a built-in warning about the first 8 days of every month on the price for immorality. Because approximately the first 7 or 8 chapters of Proverbs deals with this theme. And we're going to go over one here in chapter 7. All right? My son, keep my words and store my commands within you. This is starting with verse 1. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you're my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. If you guys, this particularly you men, but you women as well, if you want to really guard your heart, guard your life, you better take this seriously. Real serious. If you're out in the desert in a sandstorm, major sandstorm, the first thing you do is cover your eyes. You put a protective coating there. Why? You ever get something in your eye? You know, I get these little... they're blisters. Or they're not cysts, but they're little blisters. If I get real tired and I haven't slept, there's little water blisters on my eyelid, and they rub right against my eye like a little piece of gravel. I have to scratch it off. And I want to tell you, boy, I know when it's happening, and I care about the apple of my eye. See? We get real serious about our eyes. We need to be as serious about our sexual life as we are about our eyes. We need to get real serious with God about this subject and not play around. It's amazing. I'll just give you an example. How insensitive we get. I won't ask for a show of hands. Some of you remember the movie Dirty Dancing? I mean, the movie's just plain filthy. That's all there is to it. It's just filth. It's just sex with your clothes on, is all it is. These people are making tons of money from it. But I know a lot of people that went to see it, didn't think a thing of it, thought it was an art form. Come on, let's be honest. Let's start getting honest about what is and what isn't art form and what is garbage. Okay? And if you have trouble with that, you need to get in the book. You haven't trained your senses how to discern between good and evil by sticking your nose in this book. And you're headed for real problems. Real problems. You need to be in this book. See, you need to guard your life. You need to really take what I'm saying serious tonight, because a lot of you are going to be victims of what I'm talking about tonight if you don't get serious with God. He doesn't play around in this area because it's so devastating. He says here, bind them on your fingers. Get them. I mean, you know, you remember when you're in high school and your boyfriend gave you his gigantic ring and you put the yarn around it? That's about the only thing you ever bound on your finger, you know, around your neck. Now that's what God means by getting serious. Get it in your head. Get this book in there. This is your life. This is your lifeblood. This will guard you. It'll protect you when you sleep, when you get up, when you're out walking around, if you've got it. If it's richly dwelling in you. Now, here's a little observation. At the window of my house, I looked out through the window, and I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked any judgment or discernment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. The classic red light district of the community. Okay? Or it could be where your girlfriend lives. I want you to understand something here. I hate to break the news, but a prostitute's not someone who does it for money. God considers anyone who's been immoral. So if it's a relationship, it's immoral. Okay? It's immoral. Whether it's a prostitute, whether it's adultery, which is with a married woman, or whether it's with a single girl who just loves you, it's immoral. It's the same. And if you think that you can hang out at your girlfriend's house at 1 in the morning
alone in your apartment and nothing's going to happen, you better have your head examined. Or you're not made like I'm made. Or anybody else in this room. You must not be a red-blooded American. Because you're going to be in trouble. You want to avoid those situations like the plague, or you're in trouble. Okay? And then he says, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I've fulfilled my vows. I don't think there's any better description of what is going on today in our society. I don't know if you realize this, and I'm not going to use the word that was in the magazine, but I was reading an article. One day I was in getting my hair done. And I'm in reading this article in an interview with Gloria Steinem. Some of you know sweet Gloria. And a friend that she was interviewing. And this person said, and I'm not going to use the words they used, but this is kind of the quote, and I think you'll understand what I mean. This woman said, you know, I was having real trouble getting guys. So I went to my hairstylist and I said, I want you to give me a blank me hairdo. And she said, I went back a month later because I couldn't take all the hits. Now, if you don't think, if you are blind, understand what's going on in fashion today, it is simply this. You need to think through what you model yourself after. I got no problem with fashion, folks. You know that. I've talked about it. There's a whole difference between fashion and dressing like a whore. Or dressing like you're just ready to go to bed with somebody. And if you don't think that's going on, then you need to read the people who are doing the stuff, who are creating the styles. I'm not saying you're doing that, but you need to understand what these people are doing. That's what it's all about. Getting a guy. Living this loose, licentious, heavy-duty, immoral lifestyle. That's what our society's all about. And you guys, if you go to the classroom, or you hang out in the dorm room, or you hang out at a job, you hear it all the time. You hear the conversation. Sex, 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 sex. All the time. Phil's conversations all the time. Some guy, ooh, isn't he a hunk? You know, I know girls, that's all they talk about. It's the only way they know how to describe a guy. Oh, man, what a stud. And I know the same thing is true with guys. I know guys look at girls, you know, and I know Christian guys said, oh, man, would I like to get it on with her. And I'd like to smack them in the face. What kind of a standard is that? This is less than what God wants for us to have. So I want to go on here to verse 13. Or verse 15. So I came out to meet you, I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not come home till the full moon. With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to slaughter. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to what I'm telling you. Pay careful attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her path. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Now, men, this is very serious. And what I want you to understand, first of all, is you are in the driver's seat. It is up to you to stay away. It is up to you to change the course of your day, to change the course of your life. It's not up to them. It's up to you. It's up to you. Titus tells us, I want you to go to Titus. I want to read a description here of what God wants from us men. Titus chapter 2 and verse 6. Titus chapter 2, verse 6. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything to set them a good example by doing
what is good? That is really, frankly, guys, the number one quality we need in our lives, is the ability to control our body, soul, and spirit. And God gives us that ability. He asks that of us. It's very important. I just have a few more things, then we'll be done. Proverbs 25:28. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is the man who lacks self-control. This goes for men or women, and we all need to really think about this. If you don't have self-control in your life, you are totally defenseless. In olden times, cities were protected by their walls. Without those walls, they were ravaged by any marauding band that came along. And you wonder sometimes why these thoughts get a hold of you and they seem to simmer in your mind and they grab you and they won't let go. You wonder how come you're always getting caught in some snare. It's because you're not shrewd. It's because you're not prudent. It's because you're not pursuing self-control in your life. It's very important that you do. And the only way we're going to be able to do it is to brainwash your mind with God's Word. And I love that word. I'll use it till I die. You must saturate your brain with this book. You must take God serious about what He's saying. Because I know some of you are going, oh, Mark, you know, man, just get off this stuff. I know someone out there is thinking that. And I'm warning you, I'm really, in all serious, warning you, you don't play around with this. You don't play around with this. I can show you men after men. I know I have four friends, very dear friends in the last year, that have been paid the piper. It has taken a toll in their life, and today their lives are ravaged. Four, they were very close friends. And they were really growing in their Christian life. And I had told them about this and warned them about this in tears, and the day their lives are wrecked, just absolutely ruined, and I doubt they'll ever recover. I doubt they'll ever come back. And I pray for them, and I visit with them whenever I can, and they have set a course. They have gone over that boundary now almost. There's sometimes these boundaries, you know, a boundary of no return. Now you're wondering, well, Mark, how far do I go? Well, I got to tell you something. You're really going to have to be the judge of that. I'm just going to throw out some ideas. All right? If you think you can kiss, sit in a car and kiss, and get away with it, then I think you better think twice. If you think you can pet and get away with it, then I think you're not being honest. Okay? You have to ask yourself this. Is God writing this so I can see how far I can go and still do what God wants? Well, Mark doesn't say thou shalt not pet. Well, would you pet your sister? It says to treat the younger women as sisters in all purity. So if you're dating a gal and she knows the Lord, then stay off of her. Keep your hands off of her because she's your sister. Or you're violating God's command. That's all there is to it. Understand? Now, if you want to hold her hand, I think that's one thing. If you want to kiss her graciously goodnight, that's one thing. You want to stand around and make out, I think you're foolish. I think you're foolish. I think you think a lot more highly of yourself than you should. I think you're making it extremely difficult on yourself. And I want to tell you something, guys. This is why this is so important. You know what the Bible tells a woman to do to her husband? It doesn't tell the woman to love her husband. Did you know that? It doesn't say that in Ephesians. It says, wives, respect your husbands. You better be worthy of respect. And I want to tell you, in my relationship, I take this very serious. I think very serious. I do not want to damage the respect that this woman has entrusted in me. I hope you women want a man of that kind of integrity who cares about your respect, your self-respect, and your respect for him. You need to think very seriously about that. Because we don't want to do something that's going to injure our brother or sister or cause them to stumble. That's a whole other principle, by the way. Romans, Philippians,
Let no one seek his own interest, but that of his neighbor, to build him up. You think it's really cool for your girlfriend, you know, when you're making out, and she'd really like to go to bed with you, and it's driving her crazy, and she has to rip herself away? That's causing the stumble, isn't it? And the Bible says, don't do it. So these are unavoidable. You're not going to hear these things anywhere else, by the way. You go try to find a Christian book on dating, good luck. I don't care if I get stoned for this stuff. I care about you guys, you men and you women. And I'm just telling you like it is. I'm being honest and frank about this. This is the way these things get started, man. You don't just kind of go, well, should we go to the bedroom? No one ever does that. It starts with a kiss, man. It could be in front of a television set. And it starts with a kiss, and the next thing you know, you're all over each other. The next thing you know, the two cares what's on TV. You're in it. You're in it. Just like a cow being led to slaughter. And you need to, please be honest about it. Please be realistic about passion. You've got to guard your affections with all diligence because it will pollute your whole life. And it will affect your whole life. And I thank God for each one of you because I know that each one of you are here tonight because your desire is the one to honor God. Your desire is the one to honor God. And I want to see that in each one of you. I want to encourage that. I want to help you in that. I want you to also understand, although I may sound hard here tonight about this, it's because I love you. It's happened to me. It's happened to me. It happened to my wife and I when we were engaged. And it was devastating. I don't want it to happen to you. You don't think I can relate? I can relate. What you've been through, I've been through. If you want help or you need help, please call. Because I'd be more than glad to talk with you about it. But you need help. You need help. It's pretty tough to be alone. Some of you are in situations and you've talked to me. Mark, how do I get out of this? Well, I'll help you. I'll help you. I had a situation not too long ago. It really worked out just beautiful. About a year ago, this girl was out with this guy, and she knew it really headed the wrong direction, and the whole thing was physical. You know, that's where it eventually goes. By the way, you're going to have to deal with guilt, and it's one of the toughest types of guilt to deal with. Number two, insecurity. You feel cheap. You become mistrusting. You're not sure of why you're loved. That's very important, and especially for the girls. You know, guys, again, you really need to look out for your sisters in the Lord. You really do. The buck really is with you all to look out for their interests, to be concerned about them. And a lot of times these things really cause a lot of instability. They make you very unstable. Sometimes you don't know if you're coming or going. You open up, it's kind of like the little boy holding his finger in the dam. You let it out. Once it's out, then the crack gets bigger and bigger, and one day it's just a gushing flood. It's almost an uncontrollable addiction. In fact, many people are calling sex an addiction today. I don't believe it is. I believe it's sin. And it can be controlled by God's power. But that's what it becomes. It becomes this gigantic flood, and you don't know how to stop it. So it makes you very unstable. You have a lot of fears. You're afraid you may get hurt in marriage. It doesn't leave you with a lot of hope for marriage. And again, like I said, I've been through some of this. Some of these very things I've had to work through with my wife. Because before we ever met, we were both very immoral. And it brought a lot of instabilities and fears and misunderstandings, massive misunderstandings into our relationship. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth that follows you into marriage relationship with the person you really love. I got to be honest with you guys. I know a lot of girls in here that think sex is the worst thing that God ever made. And we're responsible for that. Not us directly. Men in general. And that's really great. You know, you get married to a girl and you're excited about this new thing in marriage. And she thinks it's the filthiest, vilest thing ever happened. And there are a lot of women in this room who think that. Because they've been used, misused, and taken advantage of. And now, you know, you get married and you're looking forward and God's brought you together and now you got to work through all this garbage.
And I'll tell you, it's very painful. It's very difficult to work through. And the seventh thing, instead of you being in control of your sexual desire, it's in control of you and it will ravage your life. Those are seven things that I believe the price that you'll pay for promiscuity, for flirting around, messing around. You'll pay a price. You'll really pay a price. Ladies, you don't want to have the impression that you're easy. And guys, you don't want to have the impression from women that they can see it in your eyes that all you've got on your mind is sex. You'd be surprised sometimes women can see right through you. They know what's on your mind. They know how you look. And they know what you're looking at. Don't think you're fooling anybody. And we need to trust God. We really do. To be righteous in this arena. To go forward in righteousness arena. We need to raise up a different standard that says to the world, you're full of it. You guys are off the rocker. We've got life. See? God has something very special for you. And sex is a very fantastic thing. I love it. I enjoy it. It's exciting. But only in marriage. I'll tell you, outside of it, it really is devastating. And then you're going to have to work through it. But God will help you. God will help you. I'm just trying right now to stay the course from now on. None of us can deal with what happened in the past. We can only trust God, He'll work it for good. And what happens in the future, if we fall, if we fail, God will also work that together for good. But it'd be much better for you if you just avoid the whole thing. And if you just pursue to be righteous, pursue to love the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desire of your heart. He'll give you the desire of your heart. He'll give you what's best. Your plumbing will work. You don't need to try on the shoe before you wear it. And it's very important to understand. A lot of people would, well, that's logical, Mark. That's what my professor said, man. That's what my friend said. Try it. See if you like it. Go. You'll like it. You like pizza? You'll like it. You know, you'll like it. Okay, just take my word for it. You know? God made you that way. So just take my word for it. And you'll like the wife that God gave you. It's just a big farce, you know, that the guy's got to be built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sex just isn't going to be good. Now, if she didn't look like Raquel Welch, it's just not going to be good. That's a lie. That's a lie. Take it from me. 10 years almost experience. It's a lie. It's not true. Your plumbing will work. You'll have a good time learning together. Trust God. In the meantime, trust God. Don't even worry about the area. Get in this book. Let it get into you. And enjoy the Lord and enjoy the life He's called you for. And realize that He doesn't withhold any good from those who love Him and from those He loves. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for you, will freely, along with Jesus, give you everything else you need. He's the one who made it. Please don't forget that. Learn to go talk to God about these things, okay? It's the last thing I want to end on. A lot of us have a tough time praying to begin with, and we have an even tougher time talking to God about sex. You need to learn to do it. I do. I go to God. I just tell God just what I'm feeling. You need to go learn to do that and pour out your heart and say, God, I'm going crazy in this area. This has been really, really hard for me. It's excruciating. Help me, God. Help me in my life. I want to do what's right, and God will help you. He will not put on you more than you can ever bear. Let's pray. Lord, thank You tonight so much for Your Word and for the guidance that Your Word brings to our life. And Lord, I know that maybe it seems like, boy, this is just so cut and dry, but Lord, quite frankly, Your Word's very cut and dry. Very cut and dry. You created it for marriage, for the commitment in marriage, for the security that's in marriage. And God, I pray that these men and women would just trust You. I mean, You really are worthy of trust, God. Even though, maybe even after tonight, it still doesn't make sense. You're trustworthy. Lord, thank You so much that You're a good God. And You're the one who came up with all this. We didn't. You're the one who made men and women. And You're the one who made that attraction between the two. And it's a wonderful thing, Lord. It's exciting. Now I'm excited about it, Lord. I get so thrilled to see You putting men and women together and they're headed out, going to get married together and serving Christ together. What an exciting joy that is. I pray that you'd help my brothers and sisters in this room and myself keep righteous, stay righteous, and pursue love and peace and faith with others who are desiring to have a pure heart. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Name, amen.